It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warming here, buddy.
You come on in.
Dirk and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Woo, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague, your Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
That's good shit right there.
Yes, it is. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the radio program. A new quarterback tier list. Nothing gets us to yell more than a quarterback tier list. We'll get to that in a moment. Got Statter Story right around the corner. And we'll get you set for your night ahead in sports. I do want to start with a couple of tidbits out of the world of college football, if you will allow me, before we get to our quarterback tier list, which is right around the corner. Is it brilliant marketing? Do we actually buy this? What is the reaction when you see a college football team offering somebody who buys season tickets the ability to design their opening drive of the home opening game of the season?
I knew you were going to get to this, so I didn't do it.
Yes.
Just
right up my alley.
So
I've actually contemplated buying season tickets. You can get a season ticket.
To put your name in this?
You can get a season ticket to Akron football for $75.
So you'll pay $75 to a program you don't watch or live near to hope your name's picked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it'd be really fun. I'm not going to get picked, but I think it'd be really fun, and it'd be a great bit on the show if I got picked.
I found this wildly overrated.
Great,
really? Great.
It's a brilliant marketing strategy.
Great marketing strategy. Wildly overrated.
They are playing Robert Morris. A side part of this is like, how disrespectful is this to Robert Morris?
What happens if the guy that wins decides to call multiple double wide receiver reverses? You think the coach is going with that?
What if he punts on first down?
You think you're going with that?
By the letter of the law, you got to.
I think he's going to.
Not an Iowa game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not trying to win with a punt.
I'm going to go Lane Kiffin and attempt an 80-yard field goal on second down.
What would you rather do? Would you rather call the plays for a program not knowing if they're going to actually let you call, like legitimately call whatever play you want, or...
I think I'd sue them if they didn't let me call the plays.
Pre-game speech.
Oh, I'd much rather call the plays.
Oh, I want to write up a speech.
I don't think I'd be a good motivational speaker.
Really?
I don't think I'd be that good at it.
You're selling yourself short.
Well, no pun intended. I mean, I'd do both of them. I'd like to try them both.
Hmm.
But the idea of calling the plays, what if you scored a touchdown? What if you did actually get to orchestrate it and you had like a nine play series?
Dude.
They show you your playbook. Here's the playbook.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd give you like a catalog. You can choose from these plays and these moments.
Mm-hmm.
What if you orchestrated like a 9-play, 82-yard touchdown drive?
I hate to tell you this.
That feels so good, dude.
This exact question disrupted the ESPN national show for like an hour.
Did they talk about this for an hour today?
They got into like, what if you let a touchdown drive? And then like, what if it was the best drive of the season? Your career started. And I'm
an offensive coordinator now. Now some small level program's going to call me and say, that guy was a genius.
Did you catch that, Swag, before our show?
That's stupid. But the idea of actually leading a touchdown drive as the play caller, we talked about yesterday, things that you can put on your tombstone.
Well,
opening drive, 2026, 9 plays, 82 yards.
Zips OC for a day.
Zips 7-0 over Robert Morris. I'm all about it.
Well,
dude,
Here's the thing. You don't want to be too brilliant, because if you draw up the perfect play and it's a 1 yard drive or a 1 play drive, you're done.
That's true. You want to
walk off, dude.
Yeah, I want to let it build a little bit. I don't want to just call one play.
Now, what would your first play be? Because this is
the most question.
Spider 2 wide banana.
Play action boot. I want to get my quarterback out in the open. Let him use his legs
it's
a little
so
bit.
Funny if the D lineman wasn't blocked, just sacked 12 yards.
That's all right. I got an answer for 2nd and 20.
Dude,
so
I got an answer
because it says you get a script the first drive.
Yes.
So what I think this will actually be, rather than somebody with the headset in the booth, some fan with a headset in the booth,
that won't be what it is.
They get to go to the meeting on Thursday or Friday.
Yes. And
the OC says, okay, here's our plays we have for this game. How do we, or, you know, what
I'd imagine it's like, we're going to choose this player or this player for our first play.
It's going to be
They're not going to let you kick a field goal on first down.
Yes.
From your own 20-yard line.
80 yards out.
Let it fly, big man!
Call a fake punt on 1st and 10, opening play. play of the season is a fake punt. What is happening right now? Yeah, just a lot of good ideas there. That was pretty funny. It's a little overrated, but a brilliant marketing idea. Because when was the last time you thought about Akron football?
Yeah, exactly.
Now this conversation.
I'm trying to think last time I thought of Akron football.
The only time I ever think of Akron is
random
when LeBron James.
Tuesday?
Yeah, Maction, you're channel surfing game? On a Tuesday. Yeah. Oh, Maction.
You're playing Miami, Ohio.
Oh, haven't they had a
what
notable
the hell's
coach?
A zip? Yeah.
Haven't they had a coach of note?
I don't know.
Again.
Are you thinking of Ohio?
Maybe I'm thinking of
Frank Solich was at
I'm
Ohio.
Thinking of Solich. I think you're right. I'm thinking of Solich.
Let's see. Who is the Akron head football coach? It is Joe Moorhead.
Joe Moorhead! Former Duck! Legend.
Duck legend. Do you know who their coach was before? Actually, no, not before Joe Moorhead, but the coach before Joe Moorhead?
The coach before the coach.
So Tom Arth was there for 3 years. Tom Arth had a really hard time.
Who can forget the Arth era? Okay.
The Arth era was 0-12, 1-5, COVID year, 2-10, and we'll see you later. That's a tough one for Tom Arth.
That wasn't zippy enough for them.
The coach prior to Tom Arth, though?
Oh, hold on. This was
Was it Cignetti?
It's a part of a family of royalty in college football.
Oh, is that where Jim Mora Jr. was before
no,
he
but it's
went
close.
To UConn?
Your thoughts are somewhat similar to where you should be going. Maybe the son of a classic coach.
Son of a classic coach. Who are we not thinking about right now?
When I say it, you're going to go,
Brady Hoke Jr.
I would have never, by the way, I don't remember him at Akron at all. So you shouldn't know that he was the head coach at
Akron.
He
should know anybody.
Bowden. Oh. Terry Bowden was there. He actually had a decent run at Akron. They had an 8-win season and won the famous Idaho Potato Bowl in 2015. Mm. So he had that going for him.
Yeah.
So you get $75 for season tickets to Akron football. And if you buy season tickets, you were entered for a chance to win the offensive coordinator for the opening drive of the season. And if you score a touchdown, maybe your career is taken off. You're the next Bill Belichick. Let's get to this quickly, and then I'll get to my quarterback tier comments.
Okay.
Did you guys know, do you remember that Dylan Raiola is an Oregon Duck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Heard something about that.
He was down in at Media Day yesterday, or two days ago.
I didn't listen to his. His was the only, and I probably should have.
I did. I mean, I didn't know if it was worth playing because it's the backup quarterback. Like, is that noteworthy?
I did randomly chuckle, though. I want to drive. Following Big Ten Media Day, I was thinking about the Media Day for Oregon coming up, and I don't know. I popped in my head. I started chuckling in my car by myself. Remember when we were debating if Oregon State should bring in Raiola for like a redemption year, and then a week later he was a Duck?
We have Timu Mahomes.
And that is Dirt's.
Timu Mahomes.
That's his nightmare.
It's my nightmare.
That was your nightmare, was getting Timu Mahomes.
If he wins me a national championship, I'll get.
that would be the funniest way to it all happen.
Mark my words right now.
Yeah.
If Dylan Raiola wins a championship at Oregon as the starting quarterback, or Moore gets hurt, knock on wood, this year and steps in, like he wins the championship this season,
yep,
I will get Timu Mahomes tattooed on my body.
If they win the title
with
him?
If he wins as the backup.
Tattooed on your body, Timu Mahomes.
Not as this, like a backup. They
no,
win it this
starter.
Year. He's the quarterback in the game and he wins the national championship. I will get Timu Mahomes tattooed on my body. The reason I bring this up was he was asked at Media Day what the difference was between Lincoln and, you know, the Nebraska program and the Oregon program.
Yeah.
And he took a bit of a low blow shot, and I didn't pull the audio, but his quote was, quote, there aren't cornfields here. There's mountains and trees. I love nature. As far as football, it's different. The coaches and players, we have a lot more talent than we did at Nebraska. I don't say that to knock them, but I think everybody will know that.
Mm.
So that got back to Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska sports radio, and let's grade the counter argument from Ravi Lula of Herd at Sports over in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Eugene is literally about half the size of Lincoln. What are we talking about, man? Cool, you like mountains. Congratulations. Why don't you go climb one, see if we can get in shape for the season? How does that sound? Does that sound like a good plan? Is that an option? Jeez. Was that the problem with the cornfields? You were distracted by food all the time? What's going on, bud? Like, why is that even necessary? Why is that even part of this? You think when the guy asks you, hey, what's the difference between Nebraska and Eugene? He's like, he's really looking for landscape commentary. You think he's like, well, pretty level out here. Good soil for the corn. Got mountains out here, though. Not as agricultural. Like, what are we doing? It's a dumbass way to start that answer. He's asking about football, dummy. What are we talking about?
I really like him over there, don't they?
Can we just stop with like everything in Nebraska is a cornfield? Can we knock it off? Iowa's got more corn than we do. It's bad corn, but they've got it.
What do we make of the counter? That was a pretty fun. The opening salvo of, what are you going to run up a mountain to get in shape for the season?
That was a line, dude.
Because one of the things about him in his time in Nebraska was he got a little pudgy. He was a little big, a little large and in charge. Mm. And now everybody's raving about his speed numbers and his, you know, splits of 10 yards, 20 yards, and how much more in shape he is this year. That was a pretty funny counterpunch right there. You fat ass. Is that why you were so out of shape over here?
He did not leave them.
Ooh, buddy.
I think it's pretty documented. I don't think they liked him at all while he was there.
Because he's Team Mahomes and he didn't
it's
win.
It's not just that though. It was like
if he would have won
the whole or his dad and like the whole recruitment of it.
It was dirty. It was all nasty.
Almost like a not that he said it, but it was a bow to me, I'm your savior type vibe that him and his dad brought into that program. And
he was the savior of nothing.
He was fine. He wasn't amazing. And, it, you know, they were 6-7 or 7-6 or 5-whatever they were. It's like, what are we doing?
They that return game, if he is Oregon's starting quarterback next year, is going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's not, I mean, it's not Lane, you know, Ole Miss. Nobody's comparing it to that. This will mark my words, for 24 hours from yesterday, probably through today, this is going to dominate sports talk radio in Omaha and Lincoln. And all of them just piling on Dylan Raiola and his cornfield comments about Nebraska and how much better Oregon is.
If they hadn't heard it,
I mean, it is going to spread like wildfire. He added another thing, and it was like a 5-minute rant. I just pulled a minute of it, but he had another one in there. He's like, yeah, they're more talented. We know they're more talented. That's why you're not playing. I love it.
Who's your quarterback this year in Nebraska?
Anthony Calandria, who was the Virginia starter / UNLV starter, now / Nebraska starter.
Okay.
And Matt Rule says, by the way, this is the year. Mm. This is the year. We have a new quarterback tier list coming out, and this one has caught a lot of people off guard. Now, you're going to have the author on Friday when I'm out.
Mike Sando,
good friend of the program. He does his quarterback tier list every year, talking to 50 executives and coaches, ranking the 35 veteran quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Have you ever hated a player as much as they hated Raiola that was on your team?
That's a good question.
I'll tell you this. Definitely knew of Oregon State players that were hated that much by certain students while they played for the team. I don't know if I've heard worse things yelled at a player than what was said about Matt Moore at certain home games.
Yeah, that got a little sideways.
That was quite a bit.
No, but if somebody did, if the roles were reversed, knowing myself as a fan, I'd be right there with them. Oregon doesn't lose guys to the portal like that. And most of the guys who go into the portal,
I think you view it as like okay, you're not good enough here.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to get more playing time. I don't blame you at all for that. You want to go get a different role, an opportunity.
Yeah.
The pigeon-toed running back who went to Washington, I hate that he went to a rival, but also I'm so glad he's, Jaden Lamar, I'm so glad he's off the team.
Jaden Lamar, that's right.
I hated him when he, I guess that's
a
good one.
Why did you hate him?
Because he's pigeon-toed and I couldn't stand him taking carries away from better running backs. You can't be pigeon-toed to be a running back. You just can't.
Literally is a Division One.
I don't make the
paid
rules,
he averaged like college running back.
I don't make the rules. Okay, I don't make the rules.
I think you just made your own rule.
Have fun with that, Seattle.
Pigeon-toed.
He's gonna trip over himself on the 25-yard line. It's
I
not
will
a sniper.
Say,
that's his toes. They got in the way.
If you're super,
so that's
pigeon-toed.
The reason I didn't become a D1 running back.
Are you pigeon-toed?
Yes.
You're pigeon-toed.
Are you really?
Yeah. How extreme are we talking?
My shoes will cave inward after I wear them for a while.
Really? I never knew that.
We had a guy at Park Rose. He was really big. He was an offensive lineman, and he tried to play basketball, and he was on the team. He was super smart dude. Ended up going to Princeton. It was like a big deal he got into Princeton. He was the most pigeon-toed athlete I'd ever seen, and I'm legitimately, he was like 6'7".
Throws you off when you see it.
He was 280 pounds. He was like a massive dude. And you'd watch him play basketball, and you'd go, yeah, that's why you're not good.
Yeah, if only.
I mean, these
toes. Do they have a surgery for that? Is there a pigeon-toe surgery you can do?
I don't know.
No.
There's no response.
You can get orthotics.
You have to do, like, the Forrest Gump leg thing?
His toes were almost pointing directly at each other.
No, mine's not that bad.
Not that bad.
I've never noticed yours.
Yeah. I haven't either. I don't look at your feet that often, but maybe I need to pay closer attention to that.
No, well, I don't expose my feet. That's part of the deal.
What do you notice quicker, the cauliflower ear or a pigeon toe?
Cauliflower ear.
Ear.
That's just right there.
First thing you look at is their face. You can't not see it.
Okay.
That sticks out like a sore thumb.
It does, yeah.
You're big into rolling on the mats, huh?
Yeah.
You a big mat roller over there?
I bet you don't say that because you know what you don't do? You don't go at somebody with all
you don't
want to
end up in a full Nelson screaming for your life.
Unless you're Jonah Hill and you know jujitsu. And then I will mess your ass up,
we'll
dude.
We'll get to that.
I will mess your ass up if you come at me. I don't know if I'm going to have time. I'll see. You can do quarterback tiers without me. Although, put a little respect on my Justin Herbert guy, all right? Would you?
Do we need to?
Well, here's the question.
NFL execs are never wrong, are they?
If he tears it up.
I mean, sure. Sure.
Here's the tough part for him, though. I think if he tears it up this year, McDaniel's going to get all the credit, not him.
Not true. He's already – look, you can say, oh, he's moved down from that spot to that spot. He's
or
a
it'll
tier
be,
two quarterback. To
was he higher than six last year?
I don't know if he was higher than six.
I don't think he was, but yeah, I would be shocked if he was.
Or
he was number seven last year.
The Chargers went and got him some receivers and catch the ball.
Yeah. And he lost a playoff game again and didn't play well in it.
Let's see, you survive without starting tackles.
I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not trying to fault him for it, but like the idea that if he wins a playoff game, it'll be McDaniel. He'll get a head coaching gig out of it.
McDaniel will absolutely get a head coaching gig after this.
But people, he is, you can agree or disagree with the opinion, he is the most debatable franchise starting caliber quarterback in the National Football League. We can disagree about other guys. Mm-hmm. What's this guy's peak or that guy's peak? He is very polarizing.
He is.
He might be the most polarizing player at the position.
If you were franchise drafting quarterbacks for 1 year, where would he show up on the list?
So I only get this quarterback for one season?
Yeah, we'll just go for 1 year.
And all things are really good?
This upcoming season. I just wiped the slate clean. Every NFL quarterback is available. All things equal. Who is your number one pick?
Probably Josh Allen.
Probably Stafford.
Interesting. Okay. Who's your number two picks?
Allen.
Stafford.
Okay, so you got the same one, too. Who's your third pick?
I will still give Mahomes a benefit.
Yep.
Okay, Mahomes three. So you guys each have the same top three. Who's your fourth pick?
Lamar.
Over okay. Who's your fifth pick?
Burrow. I'd roll the dice on the health.
I think this is where
Burrow five?
No. Herbert.
Oh, you take Herbert over Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm.
He at least plays through his injuries, so you give him credit for that.
Yep.
He hasn't missed huge chunks of seasons.
Obviously.
You're looking for
tough.
An argument
it's not
for
a
him.
Toughness argument for
you
me.
You know, assuming I
would Herbert come in next for you?
Or is it Dak and his gaudy offense?
You want to be gaudy? You want Madison Beer or you want gaudy this year? What kind of energy you want on your sidelines?
Dude, it would sound...
For your boy Brock.
You know, Brock is in a conversation with a lot of other quarterbacks, I would think about it. I would probably...
I'm just trying to find out if we agree with the NFL executives
the
or not.
Is, I know what you're doing is I'm you're holding audio out. For the seasons yeah, when Herbert balls out
right.
and Dak sucks. You can go, really? Still
well,
feel
I need,
this way?
I need both of them to play good because I
gamble
on both
I think
of them.
I'd take Dak.
Okay, so Dak 6. Would Herbert be 7 or would there be another name on the list for you? You have not listed Drake May?
No,
Jared
not
Goff?
May.
Jordan Love? Your guy, Brock Purdy. Caleb Williams had a good year.
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Get out of here. Stop it. Stop.
I would go.
That's one of those like where playoff wins don't matter to me. Like, stop it. I know that guys win playoff games, but come on, man.
I'd go Jordan Love.
Jaden Daniels.
Probably Herbert. No.
So he'd be 8 on your list then?
Probably
with that
8.
With, you know, 7 names, I think, so he's 8th?
Yeah.
Right.
And then you get into the Brock. You know, Darnold is certainly deserving of conversation now.
Just won the Super Bowl.
Season, won the Super Bowl.
Isn't that what matters? Isn't quarterback wins? Isn't that what matters the most?
Hey, that's how we judge
these things, isn't it? That's the end all be all, right? He's better than Herbert.
How many titles did you win?
He's good.
Did he join a super team, though? Did Darnold stack the roster?
Ooh, is he a super team quarterback?
Coming up next, my quarterback doesn't wear a backwards hat. And he stacks his roster.
Mine gets his hair stroked by his pop star girlfriend. And
by the way, do you know Darnold with a backwards hat in Hard Knocks?
I didn't even think about that.
We all get takes that age poorly.
Like half of the show, he was wearing a backwards
he's,
hat.
He's a big backwards
and
hat
And that's guy. Collins' guy?
I don't think it is.
Maybe not anymore.
You can only win a Super Bowl if your hat's forward.
Anymore. What are we doing here?
What we're doing here is Statter Story, and it is next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls.
So...
So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
That's right, folks. It is Stat or Story time on a Wednesday. We'll end with some fun with audio. Also, is this a funny punishment? How would you react if this happens to you? We'll get to that to close out the show today. For those wondering where Greg Oden is not here today. He had some flight issues getting out of Indy.
Yep.
And so he's not going to get in until later today. He will be in studio for an hour tomorrow. He is en route, or I don't know if he already flew out. I'm not quite sure exactly, but Brandman was texting us about it yesterday. I will not be here. I'm going on vacation. Greg will be here. Swag will obviously be here. And so Greg Oden will be in studio tomorrow for an hour. He just had a little change of plans because of the itinerary change because of a flight issue. So he will be here tomorrow. Did we do Greg Oden stats or did we step away?
I got out of the Greg Oden business as soon as I got the notification that he wouldn't be on. I went a different direction.
Okay, I did as well. Let's do the Greg Oden stat first. Since
there you
already
go.
Got it. Let's see what we got.
Your number is 9.
9.
Is it Greg Oden's season high for block shots in a game in his career at Ohio State? Or is it the percentage of American men who own underwear at least 10 years old? It's National Underwear Day.
Story. I think he got double-digit blocks in college.
He had to have at some
Dirt
point.
Dirt has
right?
at like, least 8 pairs of underwear that are 12 years or older.
Oh, that's a problem. They got holes. I think I got a crotch hole in the one I'm wearing right now.
That sits great.
I have a ball slipping out at any time. You never know.
It's almost like a suffocation
Play
situation.
Play peekaboo. Whoopsies. Yeah. Oh, put him back in there.
Right
the Hello.
I'm going to go story.
I'm going to go stat. Give me stat.
You did use the Dirt logic.
He didn't have more than 9 in a game, really.
7.
That's a little disappointing, is it not?
7 against Michigan.
For Greg Oden, that's disappointing. Step it up, Greg.
It's 7 blocks in a game.
There's no goaltending. You stand in the paint the whole game. You're
what
just
do you mean
camping.
There's no goaltending?
Just standing around, batting shots out of the air. Come on.
February 6th.
What's the most in a college basketball
2007.
Game?
2007. Most blocks?
Yeah.
Sampson.
Who do we think has the record?
Sampson, Wilt? Maybe the Admiral at Navy playing some crappy Patriot League team could have
Bill
had
Russell
like 20.
At USF?
None of the above.
Who have we heard it? Of him?
I haven't. Shaq has the record for a tournament game.
Yeah.
He had 11 in a tournament game against BYU.
Who's the record holder in a game?
Mikael Gladness.
Oh, I remember Mikael Gladness.
Yeah, who do you play for?
Well, tell the people. You got to inform them.
I mean, we were all glued to Alabama A&M basketball, right?
How were you not?
Circa 2007 when they played Texas Southern, and he had 16 blocks in a game.
There you go. No, Greg Oden against Michigan in a 76-63 win had 17.7 blocks and 7 rebounds.
Okay.
Against the Wolverines.
I wonder, that's a fun one that would have been great to do with him. Of like, I wonder if he remembers what his career high was in a college game. And if you asked him what game did you have the 7, would he been able to tell you?
That would have been the beauty of the segment is like how many things could we have thrown at him where he'd be like,
oh yeah,
I
that Michigan
that.
Game. I but you know.
How many threes in college did you attempt? I didn't think I shot any. 3. What?
What?
I don't remember that.
It is National Underwear Day, and indeed 9% of American men own underwear that is at least 10 years old.
Mm.
How old are your drawers right now?
I don't have one that's
10
years old.
The ones I'm currently wearing, I just got like 2 weeks ago.
I don't have one that's 10 years old.
I don't either.
I don't either.
I do have one pair that's like probably 2 years old, and I don't wear them because the fit's awful. I just haven't thrown them away.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. I hold on to them until Christmas, all the ones that have holes in them, and then you get a new fresh pack of underwear for Christmas, and then you...
I went and got all...
Out with the old and with the new.
I got all fresh before the trip.
Ooh, you wanted fresh undies for Italy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you.
You needed
for that.
Silk on your butt?
Silk? You do silk?
No.
Boxer kind of briefs?
No.
He seems like a silk guy, doesn't
My
he?
My wife weirdly made fun of me. When we started dating in college, I had a couple pairs of boxers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she made fun of me for them. She said, you look like an old man. And so I ditched them. I went boxer briefs forever, right? She just brought home like a month ago boxers. And I'm like, I'm not wearing boxers.
Yeah, wear boxer briefs.
She goes, come on, try them on. I put them on. I look 80 years old. They're flannel.
Oh,
they're just—they're terrible.
That's no good.
They're just—they look
no
awful.
And boxer briefs blow out boxers.
It's not yes.
10 out of 10. It's not even
close.
A debate. It's
boxers
not...
you would, I had in college, but I wore them to bed, like
if
almost
you
like
sleep,
workout
sure,
shorts
yeah.
or whatever.
You
that's
had
fine.
Bedtime underwear?
Yeah.
I have Tommy John sleep shorts I sleep in every night. They're essentially boxers.
You're yeah. changing your you change underwear.
I don't like
bed?
Wearing tight underwear when I sleep.
Yeah, I need some freedom.
I need to let them flop around a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
How tight are your boxer briefs?
Tight enough that they can't move.
Yeah,
I need some movement.
I know people that sleep naked.
I'm the Dixie Chicks, man. I need wide open spaces.
1935, the year that briefs were invented. The okay. tidy-whities, 1935.
Hooray! The tidy-whities. If you're a tidy-whity guy, come on, man. What are we doing here?
There's something funny about a guy in tidy-whities yelling at somebody.
Hey! What's the matter
with
you?
Get away from that mailbox.
You're wearing tidy-whities right now. Sit this one out. All right, what do you got today, Sprague?
I'm going to give you a number. 468.
468.
468. Is it the amount of pass attempts last season by one Joshua Allen, or is it the number of registered newborns in Peru named Holland? H-A-A-L-A-N-D.
In Peru?
Peru.
In Peru.
Yes.
God, the frame of reference on attempts per season is impossible. It's like how many field goals did a guy make?
I'll tell you this. Yeah. I'll give you one little hint to
pass
play the
attempts,
game.
Pass attempts, right?
Okay. Pass attempts.
Just attempted passes.
Total for the season, okay? He was 16th in the National Football League.
In pass attempts.
In total pass attempts on the year.
I'm going to go Story.
Okay.
Give me Story.
All right. The leader?
He was asked to do, but no.
Cook had a great year. He led the NFL in rushing yards.
Who led the NFL in pass attempts? Quick follow-up to my question.
Stafford?
No.
Oh.
Jared Goff?
No.
Who was slinging it all over the place?
What college do we claim when he goes to the NFL?
Shuck?
You say his whole name every time you say it. He's a two-name guy.
Now you've twisted my mind into a pretzel. You've given me too many prompts.
Brock he may Purdy? Have played for your team.
Bo Nix?
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix.
He led the league.
Interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that.
That stunned me when I looked that up.
I wouldn't have guessed
that. I'm going to say Story. I don't think Josh threw it that much.
You think Story? So we got a double Story?
Double Story.
Yeah.
Story, Story. Good job, guys.
Hey, look at that.
And you are correct. You Sprague logic, which means you were right. 460 pass attempts on the season for Josh Allen. To give you a reference, Bo Nix led the league 612.
That's a lot of attempts, man.
Thoroughbred.
Where did they rank in rushing the ball? They must not have been able to run it very well.
Denver?
Because if you're throwing it that many times, you're telling me that that's almost a hybrid of the run game, right? It didn't feel like they were losing in a lot of games either, because I would have expected somebody in that stat category to be like slightly below 500. You're in a lot of games in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but
you're
how
always
many
down by 10.
Those passes were within 5 yards of the line of
could
scrimmage.
Could have been a lot of them. Could have been a lot of them.
Easy with the check down Charlie stuff.
That's why I guess Goff, just because he had huge numbers and they were in a lot of close games.
Denver,
and throwing the ball a ton.
Denver was dead middle of the league.
Middle of the league,
118.7
okay.
yards, barely above the Colts and just behind the Packers.
Would not have been my guess.
This one comes out of Peru. The National Identity Registry has registered 468 newborns with the name Holland, while another 91 were given the full name Erling Haaland in their latest reflecting of the Norwegian football player's influence around the world.
In Peru.
Over 500 babies have been named Erling Haaland since the World Cup started.
So why are Peruvians?
They just love soccer. And
because
he was awesome.
He's a soccer sex symbol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should have gone Zlatan.
What is the name, by the way, that you wish you could name your kid?
Like after a sports hero?
I'll just jump in.
Yeah.
Jump in the fray here.
Yeah.
There you go.
In the idea that I was ever going to have a boy, always wanted to name my kid Rashid.
Rashid, huh?
White Rashid.
Can I go big time Timmy Jim?
And that's why.
A White Rashid. Have you ever met a White Rashid before?
I mean,
he'd be one of one.
He would maybe be one of one.
There's not another White Rashid out there. There's
not even
no
a quarter black
chance there's a White Rashid.
There's got to be one White Rashid out there.
Unless it's
are there any Asian Rashids?
Not an Asian
Kobe.
Are
there any Peruvian Rashids? Yeah, that is true.
A lot of Kobe's.
That's true. Very true. All right, last but not least, your number today is 15. We got to go quickly here. 15 is your number. Is it the number of fourth quarter comebacks since entering the league, which ranks second most in the NFL behind only Patrick Mahomes for one, sixth best quarterback in the league, Justin Herbert?
Oh, beating Patsy.
Or is it the number of people who were in a Colombian movie theater during a showing of Spider-Man Brand New Day that had to be evacuated from the theater during the showing because somebody had a bad gas attack and stunk out the entire theater?
What was the number?
15.
The amount of people that left the theater?
That were in the theater that had to left the theater.
Small freaking theater.
It is in Colombia.
Fart pretty badly.
Or
a
number of
theater.
Fourth quarter comeback since entering the league.
He's had more than that.
Boy, you said that.
I just love confidence.
I will
it's
go.
Very dirt of you.
I will go story.
Okay, you're gonna go story.
That feels right. I'm going to let you have it and just fade your confidence meter stat.
Confident picks and stat or story, never a good thing.
He's had more than that.
15 comebacks. That is second most in the league since coming in behind only Patrick Mahomes. I think 19 total fourth quarter, something like. He's been one of the better late game guys in the league since coming in. This was a full Colombian movie theater. Well over 100 people were there at the debut showing of Spider-Man. Was it Brand New Day?
Brand New Day. I saw it this past weekend.
The best part about it is, I don't know if they could identify who the farter was, but there's video of it. If you want to magic at this tomorrow, you can. There's some hilarious videos. There's like a guy in a full-on Spider-Man costume just walking around the lobby of the movie theater. He's like, I look like an idiot now. I'm walking around. This guy evidently, about halfway through the movie, He just had a really bad batch of gas. He started farting, ripping ass in the theater, and it smelled so bad that literally the entire theater was like,
I wonder what concessions he had.
Collectively, like, oh my God, none of them could breathe anymore. And people started to shout and loud noises happened and everybody ran and fled the movie theater.
Very quick admission. I have an awesome Spider-Man mask. And I could not find it. I searched for an hour before a 9 a.m. Sunday showing of that movie. I was going to show up in the theater in my mask.
Somebody said, there's no respect anymore. What do you want me to do? Hold it? It's not good for your gut. There you go. Sadder story every Wednesday. Let's close with some fun with audio. And is this a good punishment? We'll wrap it up there next on The Fan. All right, not a lot of time here, but we'll wrap up and have some fun with a couple of random stories to throw at you. Do we think this is a funny punishment? Mm. And how would you react if you were involved in this but did not know what was going on? Did you see the fantasy football punishment that went viral yesterday?
I did because I was tagged by multiple people in it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so
I missed that one.
So it's a creative, people come up with creative fantasy football punishments for last place, right? Like have something funny on the line. This one was a guy, and he filmed himself. There's a video out there. You can go watch it. His punishment was to go to a local golf course as a solo player and play an entire round of golf without a ball.
But swing
and he was not allowed to say anything to anybody in the group about why he was playing without a ball. And so there's legitimate, like, you can watch him. He walks up and I think he put like a little camera on his shirt or his hat. Puts his tee in the ground, opening tee shot, swings the club, puts the club back in the bag and starts walking down, walks to the middle of the fairway, swings the club.
Also narrates, says, oh, I stuck it within 3 feet.
The whole round, he's like, look at that, another birdie look. And then he goes up and putts. He played 18 holes of golf with an imaginary ball with three random people.
Here's a funny follow-up. He's playing with two much, much older men. And they are watching this, and they're laughing throughout. Eventually, at one point, he has his putt, quote-unquote, within 4 feet. And the old guy comes and just knocks it, the invisible ball, in the pin and pulls the flag. And he goes, good job.
That was good, dude. You're good. Go ahead and pick up. Go to the next hole. Funny punishment, and how would you react if somebody did this to you? You would just assume either A, this is some sort of ruse, or he's high on methamphetamine, right?
He's dressed, he's talking normal. I don't think I go to high.
I did at one point have somebody attempt to play something with me without a ball.
What?
I know that was a really bad way of saying it. Many moons ago, Alex Crawford, after smoking, wanted to play imaginary basketball.
What did he smoke?
You know, we were having not methamphetamine or crack cocaine.
Okay,
it was not either of those two things.
I was going to say, like,
let's put some shots up. I looked over at him like,
wait, where were you?
What are you talking about right now? This was probably early on in his time.
He just wanted to start shooting invisible baskets?
He wanted to play imaginary basketball. And I looked at him like, dude, I'm not on that
stop
level.
It.
I'm okay, man. You go ahead and get some corner threes up, though, if you want.
He asked me recently, Alex, because he's doing acting and stuff, he asked me if doing a skit about Bin Laden was okay now. I go, what's the premise? He goes,
has the statute of limitations expired?
He goes, it's 9/10/2001, and he's on a blind date.
Oh.
And I go,
I don't think that'll fly.
Oh, man. So we have imaginary golf ball fantasy football punishment. That happened yesterday on the internet.
Wait, see, I'd much rather do that than, like, to be the naked or golf guy. Like,
also, be the guy who had to go to the qualifier for the U.S. Open or whatever it was.
Dude, I could do getting beat.
Yeah, but then you...
You're more likely to get... Because there's people that are legitimately there trying to...
Like, it's a lifelong dream. Yeah.
You're also trying.
Well. Let's end with some fun with audio, shall we? This happened yesterday in Chicago.
You golf guys.
Come fans! Tonight, C is for cubbies and cookies. All right, let me hear ya. A one, a two, a three. Need not care if the end. Root for the cause. If they don't win it, the shame. For if one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball.
See, that's the best way to do it is you don't have to be visible and you get a pass because you're a children's character doing the voice. It's the best way to do it.
I didn't see the video. Like, is he in the booth? They have him in
the
booth.
He's in the booth.
He's
right next
out.
To John Shambi and the look on Shambi's face.
That's pretty good.
Well, because Shambi's watching the guy do it, but he's crouched down.
He's looking down at the guy underneath the desk.
The mic is not picking him up on everything. It sounds like he kind of forgot some of the words.
Yeah, that's true. You got to put the microphone. That is, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. You can't put the microphone in front of Cookie Monster's mouth. That'll be a little complicated.
No.
Hey, you know what they ended up doing? Scoring some runs and eating some cookies.
They did. They beat the Dodgers.
They won the game last night.
Suck it, Scooble.
There you go. What's on the show tomorrow? Greg Oden in studio for an hour.
Stevie Fire will be hopping on.
Stevie Brackets will be here in the morning.
Co-hosting with me. Says he wants to do it bright and early and then still do primetime. And then Greg Oden will be on from 8 to 9 a.m.
Don't forget the jersey autograph for me.
You
got to
leave me the jersey.
I got it. It's right here.
I'll put it in my backpack and be sure to get it signed.
If you get him to sign a dong picture without me, I'm going to be very happy for you.
I've decided against it.
You're not going to do it? It would be an iconic moment in the
history of
the show.
Seems like he'd be good fun about it, but also I could see that going the other way. And now Greg Oden has thrown me through a window.
Great content. If the YouTube cameras pick it up over here.
Not great
content. That is great content. Is it not?
That's not great
that
content.
That would go so viral, dude. You know how many followers on Twitter you would get? That'll do it for us, folks. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, at 1051 The Fan. I'm off to vacation. Be back next Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday. Wow. Sprague and Stevie Brackets will be in tomorrow morning, and they will talk to you at 6 a.m. The firm of Harrison Meringue is next. Listen to 1051 FM The Fan.